So,
the Holy Mass Samach Dalet Amud Beis in the middle of the Mishnah, second Mishnah, 10 lines from the bottom. We talked about the procedure of the Chatas Ha'oif and the Oilas Ha'oif. So now the Mishnah talks about as far as the various Machshavas. So we learned at the beginning of the Sefta all about Lishmoy and Shaloi Lishmoy and Pasol and Pigol and all that. So now, having learned about that earlier, as far as animal Korbanos, so the Mishnah repeats basically the same information as far as brood Korbanos. Chatas Ha'oif Shemolka Shaloi Lishmoy, if he does the Malika of a Chatas Ha'oif Shaloi Lishma, having in mind that it's a different carbon, mitza dama shaloi lishma, we squeeze that, we squirts out the blood, shaloi lishma. Now we talked about yesterday that with the chatas, actually there's hazah and there's mitzah, there's squeezing out, there's squirting out the blood towards the wall from a distance, and then there's mitzui, which is pressing it against the wall of the mizbeach. So here when we say mitzah dama, actually, then does it mean really? We talked about before. We're going to talk about again later in the Gemara that there are opinions that mitzui is not ma'akev. So why should it be possible? So why should it possible? So Tosfos discusses a long Tosfos at the end of the parak dealing with an opinion of Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon that we're going to see in the Gemara about separating or not separating the head and the body of the bird by a chatas. And in the course of that, Tosfos explains that one version of it might indeed be to say in our Mishnah, he's a dhamma rather than mitzah dhamma, or maybe that is both, depending on whether you say that mitzah is absolutely necessary or not. Anyway, so if he does that, shaloi lishma, and by a bird, those are the only two avodas, because by an animal korban, you have four avodas, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika, and by mincha, you also have correspondingly four avodas, but by a bird korban, you only have two, melika, which corresponds to shchita, and hazar slash mitzui, which corresponds to zrika. So if he does that, l'shaloi l'shma, l'shaloi l'shma v'shaloi l'shma, or he has in mind during part of it l'shma and part of it shaloi l'shma, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, does that mean during part of the same avoda? Does it mean one of them? Does it mean one of the avodas l'shma and the other one shaloi l'shma? Or l'shaloi l'shma v'shma? Or the other way around, one of them l'shma and the other one shaloi l'shma p'sula, then being a chatas, it's possible the same way as we said about an animal chatas, that it has to be l'shma throughout, the same way with a bird chatas, it has to be l'shma throughout. Ola sa'oif, as far as an ola sa'oif in that kind of situation, k'shera, then it'll be kosher, because as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, an ola can be shaloi l'shma, ovavan, shaloi also the bailam, l'shem choiva, however, it doesn't count for the choiva of the owner, and they're going to have to bring a different korban. Okay. Next, let's talk about the matters of posel versus pigol, similar to, again, the way we talked about with animal korbanos. Echad chatas ha'oif ve'echad ola sa'oif, with either of those korbanos, she'molkan v'shemitzes zaman, where you did the melika or the mitzui, or if you say that if it's not supposed to be mitzui, then it's supposed to be hazar, whatever. In the case of an ola, it is mitzui. That's the only thing. In the case of chatas, then it would be hazar. And again, the Gemara elsewhere points out that mitzah over here might be talking about primarily about the ola, where indeed mitzah is the only thing, as opposed to a chatas, where you do have hizah as well. So if he does those lechel, davar shadarta lechel, having in mind that he's going to eat something which is supposed to be eaten, namely we're talking about a chatas where the whole thing is eaten, or lahakter, davar shadarta lahakter, or he has in mind to burn something that's supposed to be burnt, namely by an ola sa'oif, where the whole thing, as we learned yesterday, well, the whole thing minus the mura v'noitza, is burnt on the mizbeach. If he has in mind that he's going to do either of those things outside the place, outside the azara, possible vein by karis, and the korban is possible, but there's no karis for eating it. Chutzas manoi, but if he has in mind on either of those things, chutzas manoi, that he's going to do it beyond the proper time, and in the case of an ola sa'oif, it has to be that day. In the case of an ola sa'oif, it's going to be burnt that day. In the case of a chata sa'oif being kodshim, it's going to have to be eaten that day. So if he has in mind that it's going to be eaten or burnt or the parts that are burnt the next day, so then pigul v'chayav another kardes, and pigul and a person is chayav kardes for eating it, uvavad shiyakav ha-matzah k'mitzvase, provided, like we learned with an animal korban, that the matzah was offered properly. Kate said, what do we mean? Kate said, kardav ha-matzah k'mitzvase, what do we mean that the matzah was brought according to its mitzvah? Moloch b'shtika, for example, so he did the melika quietly without any thought of chutz l'mekayimon, or mitzah adam chutz l'zmanay, and then he squeezed out the blood, having in mind chutz l'zmanay. Or shem moloch chutz l'zmanay, or mitzah adam b'shtika, or the other way around, the melika chutz l'zmanay, and the mitzah, the squeezing out of the blood, the pressing out of the blood, he did quietly. Or shem milikum, or shem moloch mitzah adam chutz l'zmanay, or he did both of them chutz l'zmanay, zeh shekarav amatik mitzvasei, that's called that the matter has been offered properly, and therefore, so there's no other machshava to ruin it, therefore it becomes pigul, and therefore a person eats from it as chayv chutz. Ketzad lekarav amatik mitzvasei, what is a case where it's not done to mitzvasei, moloch chutz l'mekayimon mitzah adam chutz l'zmanay, if he does one of the avodas with the thought of chutz l'mekayimon, and the other one, and the other one chutz, and the other one chutz l'zmanay. Or the other way around, the malika chutz l'zmanay, and the squeezing out of the blood, the pressing out of the blood, chutz l'mekayimay, or shemalach mitzah adam chutz l'mekayimay, or both of them chutz l'mekayimay. So in all those cases, it's not pigul, it's only possible. Because again, either there's no thought of pigul at all, as in the last case, or there's a thought of pigul, but it's combined together with a different thought on a different avoda. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, machshava motzi midei machshava, one avoda counter, one machshava counteracts the other and prevents it from becoming pigul. Another example, chatas ha'oif shem molka shaloi l'shma, where the chatas ha'oif, where he did the melika shaloi l'shma, and by chatas, as we just said before, shaloi l'shma passes it. And then when he did the mitzui, it was a thought of chutz l'zmanay, so it won't become pigul again because you have a different thought that will make it possible. Or shemolak chutz l'zmanay or mitzah adam shalay l'shma, or same thing. Or shemolak mitzah adam shalay l'shma, he did both of them shalay l'shma. So shalay karav amatik mitzvasay. In all those cases, the matir has not been offered according to his mitzvah because there's a different thought involved. Or in the last case, there's no thought of pigul at all, and therefore it doesn't become pigul. Unlike we're going to have at the end of the mission, we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda argues like he did earlier in the Masechta and says that it depends on the order of the thoughts because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, he holds that you have to go according to the first machshava, the first loss in Rishon, as we learned in detail earlier in the Masechta. Next, lecho kazayis v'chutz kazayis v'macher. If he has in mind in the korban that he's going to eat a kazayis of it outside the azara, and a kazayis of it tomorrow, kazayis v'macher, kazayis v'chutz, so the other way around, first kazayis tomorrow and then a kazayis outside the azara, kachatzizayis v'chutz, kachatzizayis v'macher, or half a kazayis outside and half. And half tomorrow, or half tomorrow and half outside, possible vein by karis. In all those cases, it's possible, but there's no karis because again, you don't have either. He doesn't have in mind a full kazayis chutz manay, or he does, but he also has a thought of a different kazayis chutz l'mekayimay, and therefore that prevents it from becoming pigul. Tosfos wonders on Omer Beis why the mission has to be so repetitive. We learned all of this in connection with korbanos of animals. Shouldn't it be enough to say that that all the dinyan as far as lishma and as far as pigul and as far as that see above basically. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, but again, Rabbi Yehuda argues over here as far as the order of the machshavas. Omer Rabbi Yehuda zachlal im machshavas zman kodem machshavas hamakim. If the thought of zman, the thought of the macher of doing chutz l'zmanay came before machshavas hamakim, before the thought of doing outside the azara pigul v'chayav another karis, then it'll be pigul and it'll be chayav karis because he holds that you go according to lashon rishon as we learned back then. The machshavas hamakom kodem al machshavas hazman, and if the makom comes before the zman, possible vein be karis, then it's possible, but there's no karis. V'chamam zevzev possible vein be karis, whereas the chum disagree and say that either way it's possible and there's no karis. The chum are basically repeating what the Tanakhama had said earlier in the Mishnah. We had a similar thing again earlier in the Masechta in the third parak when we dealt with all these dinim. Next, lecho kachatzizayis or lahakta kachatzizayis. If he had in mind to eat a half a kazayis, chutz l'zmanay, and to burn a half a kazayis, also chutz l'zmanay, kosher, then the korban will be kosher. She'en achila v'aktorim etzarfin, because eating and burning do not combine, again, as we learned by animal korbanos. Now, here's where Mefoshim point out a big problem. with an animal carbon, and this might be the kind of thing, you know, again, you have, as Tosfos had said, the Mishnah is repeating what we learned 3 Purakim ago, so you'd kind of tend to, you'd learn this Mishnah, and you'd kind of like rush through it, and your eyes glaze over as you, we learned this already, but then the Mephoshim point out over here that no, actually, when you come to a bird, there's a big difference with an animal carbon, because an animal carbon, you have parts that are eaten, and any carbon except for an Ola, you have parts that are eaten and parts that are burnt. But with a bird carbon, it's one or the other. Either it's an ola sa'if and everything that's going to be consumed is going to be burnt on the mizbeinach, except for the mura and noitza, which you throw away, and those are not roi la'achila. They're roi la'achila in the sense that you can physically eat them, but they're not something that's meant for achila. And we said before, it has to be something that's meant for achila. Or in the case of a chata sa'if, nothing of it goes on a mizbeach, as we said, except the blood, and all of it is burnt. So where is this case of eating a half a kazayis and burning a half a kazayis, given that we learned earlier that the eating and the burning have to be the things that are supposed to be eaten and the things that are supposed to be burnt, respectively? So the Mephoshim have various Achronim talk about various possibilities. The Rashash and a couple of other Achronim, the Tferes Yisrael, say you're right. Maybe the Mishnah didn't need to say this, and it's just, again, having brought the whole Lashon as previously, then it brings this Lashon also, even though it's not really applicable to a brewery. On the other hand, there are a couple of answers. The Sfas Emes gives a couple of answers, one of them being that we had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer earlier in the Masechta, who said that it could be that the person has in mind what to eat, that to eat what was supposed to be burned or vice versa, and those would combine, but even he agrees that if you have the Lashon Achila and Akhtara, then they don't combine, that we talked about earlier, on Daf Lamed Aleph. If he says that he'll eat half and the Mizbeach will eat half, then it can combine, but not if he uses the Lashon of Achila and Akhtara. And there are a few other different answers that are given, one of them being an answer from the Or Sameach on the Rambam. He says maybe we have to consider let's say you have the regular case where you have to pour out Shirayim on the Mizbeach, is there a minimum amount of blood that has to be poured out to be considered Shirayim? On the face of it, maybe not. I mean, whatever's left in the case of an animal carbon, whatever's left in the basin is what you pour out. The same thing over here with mitzvah. Does it necessarily have to be an amount? If we say that there is, then that could explain this also. We could be talking about not specifically the hakdir to burn, but rather, in other words, he has in mind, let's say, to eat a half a kazayas of the chatas and to press out half of the, and then to press out a half a kazayas of the blood of the mitzvah of the chatas onto the wall of the mizbeach, both of them, flips his manoi, then the Mishnah would we still be saying that it doesn't combine. Okay. So let's deal with how we learn the dinim of the various dinim of an ola sa'oif from the psukim. Turn that bottom, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says v'hikrivay. The pasuk goes like this: v'hikrivay akoyin on mizbeach. The koyin should bring it the ola sa'oif close to the mizbeach. He does malika, the hikter on mizbeach, and he burns it on the mizbeach. The nimsa domai akir on mizbeach, and the blood of it is squeezed onto the wall of the mizbeach. So now we're going to go through phrase by phrase in Darshan. So tana bana v'ikrivoi matam adloimar. Why does it have to start saying v'ikrivoi, that he should offer it? So lefisha nemar, because the previous pasuk says that if a person wants to bring a bird carbon, it phrases it in the plural. It says he can offer from the turtle doves or from the young doves. The din is, by the way, with turtle doves, they have to be mature, and with doves, they have to be immature, which is why the Torah phrases it that way. But it says in the plural, Yochom is not of oif lo yifchis mishnei pridim. You would think if a person makes a nedava that he wants to bring a bird carbon, maybe he has to do at least two birds. No, Talmud Lama v'hikrivoi, therefore the pasuk says you should offer it after the prida achas yavi, and from there we learn that he can bring even one individual carbon. There is an interesting point in that regard. We do find cases where we do find by korban or the yodin, the Torah tells us to bring one animal as a chatas, and if the person can't afford it, he brings two birds as an oila. He brings two birds, one as an oila and one as a chatas. There's actually an explanation, I think, from the Eben Ezra that says why did the Torah do that? Is because, since, as we just said, an ola is completely burnt, an ola sa'if is completely burnt, a chatas is completely eaten, and if the person were to have brought an animal chatas, part of it would be eaten and part of it would be burnt, then the Torah wants to have with birds as well that there should be something like that, one, a little bit of each. So that's another answer that the Sfas Emes gives to explain why the Mishnah had mentioned lechol chatzizayis v'hakdei chatzizayis. Suppose a person is bringing two birds, one ola and one chatas, maybe you should consider them one unit, and if he has in mind to eat a half a kazayis from the chatas and to burn half a kazayis from the oila, it should be considered one unit and make him pigel, and the Mishnah had said that not. But he was saying that that's as far as obligatory karbonis. A person has to bring generally an oila and a chatas and an oila together, but when it's a voluntary karbon, he can bring even one. With that said, people were usually in the habit of bringing two. We're going to learn in the next paragraph all about various cases from Kinim of birds getting mixed up, where the assumption seems to be in general that you have two birds together. And you have other examples of that as well. There's a medrash that tells a story that Agrippa Samelach one time decides that he wants to reserve them as bayach for himself that day. He tells the Kohanim, I have a thousand karbonis I want to bring. I want exclusive rights to the mizbeach. Then this poor guy comes with two birds, and the Kohanim tell him, come back tomorrow. And he says, no, you don't understand. I'm a bird trapper. Every day I manage to catch four birds. Two of them I bring as a korban, and the other two I use to feed my family. And I feel it's in the source of the two that I bring as a korban that the Eibishter helps me catch the other two so that I can feed my family. If you don't let me bring these two, I may not be able to feed my family tomorrow. So they let him bring the two. That night, Agrippas has a dream that poor fellow's two birds are worth more to Hashem than all your karbonis. And you know, what do you mean? What poor person? And he calls over the Kohen Gadol and asks, and the Kohen Gadol tells him the whole story, and Agrippas tells him you did right. So anyway, you see from that also that people would usually bring two birds together as karbonis. But the genius is that he can bring even one. El HaMizbeach Matam Adloima, what does the Pasuk mean when it says that he brings it to the Mizbeach? What does that teach us? So it says El HaKoyin Matam Adloima, El HaMizbeach Matam Adloima HaKoyin, when it says, it could have just said that he brings it to the Mizbeach. Why does it say V'Ikrivei HaKoyin El HaMizbeach? It should be V'Ikrivei El HaMizbeach, so who else is bringing it? So the kvoya loy koyan, that means that to establish that it's a koyan himself who has to do the malika. And the reason we need to say that shiyochova loy dinu, because if it weren't for that, we might have thought to make a kavah koyan. Uma ben soin shikova loy tsofen, madach with a sheep oila, where the Torah establishes that it has to be shechted on the north. The same is true of other ant types of animals that are brought as an oila as well, but by the Ben Sohn, it says it explicitly, V'shachatais al yorach ha-mizbeach, and we learn in the previous parak, the other species, we learn from it by a vav, Moshe Valdinin Rishon. So madach ha-sheep, where it says specifically the north, loy kova loy koyin, but it's not specifically that a koyin has to shecht it, it's a shade of bizarre. Oifshle kovalite soften, so then by a bird where there's no kvius that a dafka has to be on the north, ain't it in shall a yutpolite koyin? How much more so that it shouldn't require a koyin? Tamadloima, elakoyin, the kvoyalite koyin. That is why it has to say elakoyin, or that is not elakoyin, but it's a koyin, the kriga koyin, the kvoyalite koyin, to establish that the koyin himself is the one who's going to have to do the malika. Tosfos discusses the fact that we can argue from the to the contrary from Kmitza of a Mincha, which can be anywhere in the Azara, and yet a Koyan has to do, but a Mincha has special features of its own, and so on and so forth. Achronim also bring up a point that we learned at the beginning of the Perek that according to Yossi, the entire Mizbeach is considered to be the Tzofen, and we're going to talk about later that the Malika of an Ola Sa'oif is done not only on the top half of the Mizbeach, but it's generally speaking on the roof of the Mizbeach. So therefore, so you actually do have that, in effect, that sofren has been set aside for it. So there's a lomdish answer from Chazon Yecheskel that says basically the difference is the kvius is not so much for the bird, but for the place where the person is standing who is doing the avodah, that he has to be standing near the top of the mizbeach. The bird itself, as we're going to go on to say, so the bird itself, in other words, in principle, it could be done further down, as we're going to learn further on in the braisa. So we're going to talk about the squeezing of the blood can be done further down, almost above the chotas sikra. So it's mainly that the person himself has to be standing up there. So therefore, it's correct to say that by a bird, the turda is not kedei at sofren, but therefore, it has to tell us that it's a koyan has to do. Okay, continues the braisa, yocho yimlkenu b'sakin, you would think that you do the malika, that you cut through its neck with a knife, and again, v'dinhu, and again, you would think to make a kavah choymer to say that should be done. Madach shchita, where there's no a koyin is not established for it, as we just said, a zor can do it. Kavala Kli, yet the Torah insists that it has a Keli, which we actually learn later in the Masechta. We learn from the fact that by the Akeda, it says that by Yikachas HaMacheles, we learn from that that there has to be an actual Macheles, an actual knife. We touched on earlier in the Masechta the question whether it has to be a Kli Shores. There was a Tosfos discussing that point back and forth, but anyway, the point is that you definitely need a Keli of some kind. Melika shekavala koyin, melika where a koyin has been established that he has to do it, any dinshi yikvala kli, how much more so that it should be established that you have to do a keli? No, tamad lena, koyin or malak, that is why. The Torah says that the yikrivala koyin, and the next word in the pasuk is, or not the next word, yikrivala koyin on the mizbeach, and it continues umalak. And if he does the melika, so that means that that the melika is done by the koyin himself, the atzma shel koyin, with the actual body of the koyin. Meaning with his fingernail, like we learned yesterday. Omer Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says you can douch in it differently. How could you possibly think that a zor can come close to the mizbeach? So of necessity, if the korban has to be brought on the mizbeach, and it says the kriva el mizbeach, of necessity it means a korban. So what do we learn from the word koyin? It means that it has to be done with the body of the koyin. Meaning, in other words, according to the Tanakhama, we're saying that the fact that it has to be done by a koyin, we learn from the fact that it says koyin in the pasuk, and then the fact that it doesn't use a keli, we use from the fact that it continues a koyin or molak. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that. Just the word hakoyin alone means that it's done with his actual body, with his fingernail rather than with a knife. Tosfos points out a number of reasons why we have to learn it that way, why we can't learn it from a chata sa'oif, and then in turn a chata sa'oif we learn from a mincha, where the kmitz has to be done by a koyin, and so forth. So that's how we learn that the koyin does it himself. Next, you would think he could do the melika either on the top half or the bottom half of the mizbeach. Therefore, the pasuk says he should do the melika and he should burn. From which we learn, from that hekesh, we learn, mahak torah b'rosh ha-mizbeach, just like the burning is done on the top of the mizbeach, we're going to talk about in a little bit, that it's possible conceivably to burn it elsewhere, but basically, where do you burn things on the mizbeach is on the top. As a af melika, but Rosh HaMizbeach, the same way the melika has to be done at the top of the, has to be done at the top of the mizbeach. Next, when the pasuk says molach, where is the melika done? Mimul orech means next to the orech. The orech is the back of the neck. So that is the area. Mul over here doesn't mean opposite, as it sometimes done does. It means in the area of. So it does mean mul orech. After Omer and Mul Oref, so you're saying that means maybe not, maybe the Malika here by an Ola Sa'oif is supposed to be done from the front side. And the answer is no. The Dinhu, we can learn that logically. That's on the back. By Xera Shava, Nemakan Molak, Venemalahalan Molak, because it also says a Molak by a Chachas Oif later in Parshas Vayikra, Malahalan Mimul Oref, and there it's Mimul Oref, as it actually says explicitly in the Pasuk, Afkan Mimul Oref, the same way by an Ola Sa'oif, it also has to be on the back of the neck. Tosfos discusses again further over here about the various lemudim that are involved over here. Do we have maybe something over here that we're learning with a hekesh and then in turn learning with another hekesh, which wouldn't work as we learned previously, and so on and so forth. So we learn that it's mimul oref. Next, e malahalan molik ve'enim mavdil. Now by chatas oif, as we learned in the Mishnah, he does the melika, but he doesn't divide it, which we talked about yesterday. According to Rashi, it enim mavdil means he cuts through only one simon, and according to the Rambam, it means he cuts through both simonim, but he doesn't physically separate the head from the body. So you would think, just like by a chatas oif, you do that. Afkan molik ve'enim mavdil. Maybe by an olas oif also, you do melika, but you don't divide it completely. Talmud Lema, Molak v'hikdir, the Pasuk says you should do Malika and you should burn. And that means a hekesh between the Malika and the burning. Mak Torah HaRosh La'atzmei V'agruf La'atzmei, just like with the burning, the head and the body are separate, because the Pasuk clearly says that he takes the head and then and burns it on the mizbeach. Or it clearly says actually afterwards it says that he burned the body on the mizbeach. So just like when it comes to the burning, they're burnt together. The same way by malika, they need to be separated at least as far as the simanim, maybe even as far as completely separated. When it comes to a chatas ha'oif, by the way, we're going to talk about on Omud Beis, whether in fact by a chatas he shouldn't separate them, as we said in the Mishnah. There's also further within that, machlokas rishonim, if he does separate it by a chatas ha'oif, it says lo yavdil, by a chatas ha'oif, it says the lashon is molach asurshim molopi, the lo yavdil, does that constitute a loises and not to separate them by a chatas, or does it just mean he doesn't have to separate them? The Rambam learns it means by a chatas, he doesn't have to separate them. A number of other rishonim learn it means he's not allowed to. Anyway, so by an Ola Sa'if, though, we're saying that you do not separate them, or you do separate them, and we learn that from the fact that it says Molach and Vehikter, meaning that the Melika has to result in something where then you're going to be able to be Vehikter, you'll be able to burn the head and the body separately, as it says in the Pasuk. And let's continue. So Taka, where do we know that? How indeed do we know that the head and the body are burnt separately? Shenema, because the pasuk continues, v'hikter oisai, afterwards, the pasuk continues, that first the pasuk says he does malika, and then it says v'hikter amizbecha, that he burns on amizbeach, and then the next pasuk continues that later, it says that he breaks the bird in two, v'shisa oisa b'chnafam, lo yavdo, but doesn't divide the body in two, and then v'hikter, and then he burns it on his mizbeach, v'hikter oisa. Harek toras ha'gufamora, so that's talking about burning the body. Homani m'kayim v'hikter on mizbeach, so what does it mean, two psukim earlier that he should burn it on the mizbeach, back toras ha'roish ha'kosim medagra. The pasuk there is talking about the burning the head, so we see that the head and the body are burnt separately. Next, the Braisa continues, darshaning the pasuk. The pasuk says, the nimfa domoi, it says his blood should be pressed out. And that means, since it says the nimfa domoi, that means, since it says the nimfa domoi, that means kuloi, that means all of it. So as much as possible of the blood should be squeezed out. Now, Tosfos points out later on at the end of the parak, that, or I should say at the beginning of the next parak, as follows. We talked about by an Ola, you have only Mitzui, and by a Chatos, you're supposed to have Hazor and Mitzui. So, again, Mitzui's pressing it out against the wall versus Hazor squirting it from a distance. Tosfos discussed it at the beginning of the next parak, that by an Ola, maybe if you did Hazor, it doesn't necessarily pass on it. You still have to do mitzri, but if you did hazar first, it doesn't necessarily pass over. So that when the Gemara says of it, you kuloi, it means all of it, doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be literally all of it. Like this, you did hazar some of it first, it'll still be kosher. The same way, so it just compares it to the same way. Let's say if some of the blood spilled before the mitzri, you're not going to say it's fossil. So the same way, if you did hazar of some of the blood before the mitzri, that won't necessarily possible. It would be possible. It just means that Hachila, he's supposed to do as much as he's supposed to do all the blood. The point is, otherwise, it would have said v'nimta midamai. Now the pasuk continues al kira mizbeach on the wall of the mizbeach. So we learn from that, as in Mishnah, v'lo yakira kevesh, v'lo yakira heichel, it means not on the wall of the kevesh and not on the wall of the heichel. The Mishnah had said, the Ezer Zekir Ha'elyon. Which wall is that? This is also the Braisa speaking. This would be the upper wall of the Mizbeach. Now, continues the Braisa, how do you know? Maybe it means the bottom half of the wall. And the Dinhu, and we would think to learn that by a Kavachomer, Madach with an animal where a chatas, the blood goes on the top half of the mizbeach, as we know, because it's daubed on the individual corners and the counters of the mizbeach are at the top. Ola of a behemah is done on the bottom half. Oif shechatos lemaila, by a bird where the chatos is on the bottom half. Ain't it din shrei los lemata? Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that the ola would also be lemata on the bottom half? No, tamud leimo molach lehikti v'nim sedamai. Let's look back at the pasuk where it says he does malika and burns it and the blood is squeezed. Now, How is it in that order? What do you mean? How is it possible after you burn the head on the Mizdeach, how is it possible to squeeze out the blood from it? So rather, it comes to teach you, just like the burning is necessarily done on top of the Mizdeach, the same way the mitzui, the squeezing out, the pressing out the blood onto the wall, has to be on the top of the Mizdeach. So it can't be on the bottom half, it has to be down on the top half. Kate said, so what does this mean? How would he actually do it? He would go up on the ramp, or point of a servant, and he would turn to the servant on that side ramp that we learned about the other day. He would go to the southeastern corner, as we learned earlier. If the southeastern corner was crowded with other kohenim, then instead he'd go to the southwestern corner. We talked about, according to Rashi or Tosfos, whether he would go up to the top of the Mizbeach in that case, or whether he would go up to, or whether he'd go up another branching ramp that would lead up to the soldier on that side. But anyway, normally he would go to the northeastern corner, do the malika on the back of the neck, or mavdil, and divide it, because this is an ola we're talking about, where the head and then body have to be divided, separated, either as far as the two simonim or as far as all of it. And he presses out the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach. Midama, it's actually said, vidama mismatzah. She talked about this, changes it too, because again, this is just said, it's not supposed to be midama, some of the blood, it's really supposed to be all of it. Now, the Braisa finishes off. Ima saw the mata medaglav. Now, if he did it below where his feet are standing, afilo ama, even if it was an ama below that cheder, it would still be kosher because it has to be above the chutah sikra. Well, the chutah sikra is 5 amas up from the floor. Meanwhile, the yisoid is 6 amas up from the floor. So he has 1 ama of leeway where he can be standing on the servant, bending down and doing the malika and the pressing out of the blood there, and it'll still be kosher because it's on the top half of the mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, kol atzma in nasis ela b'rosh ha-mizbeach. Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say that the whole thing has to be done only on the top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "My benayu." Well, what is the where is the point of their argument? Meaning Rashi says, you don't normally my benayu means what's the nafkamina between them. Here the nafkamina is very clear. Can he bend down and do it below the slaver or not? So Rashi explains that this is one of those examples in Shas where my benayu really means my chumitzugi. Where is the underlying source of their machloikas? Why we all agree it has to be b'roish ha-mizbeach. So what are we talking about? So where are they getting? The part about that it can be below his feet, according to the Tanakhama, or not, according to the Nechemia and the Rabbi Ben Yaakov. Tosfos points out, the Tanakhama will say as follows, that the same way, for example, by blood, we talked about in the previous perek, that even though the blood of a chatas behema is supposed to go on the corners of the Mizbeach, nevertheless, it can be an ama away from the corner, and it's still a kosher, the same way over here, even though the Tanakhama is going to say that you have to stand on the Sovev, but nevertheless, within an ama of the Sovev can still be considered in that area. But why are them Nechemia and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagreeing? So the answer is Abaye Barava, Dami Tavayu, Oisama Rocha, Dami Servant, Ikabinayu. The argument between them is on the point, would you be allowed to make a little Ma Rocha right there on the servant, put a few pieces of wood right there on the servant, and light them on fire and burn the Ola Soif over there? According to the Tanakhama, sure, you could go ahead and do that. So that's considered to be a place of Akhtara, and therefore, an ama away from that, like Tosfos says, the same way as by the Kronos, an ama away is still fine. The same way over here, an ama away will still be fine, and therefore you can do it below the Sovev, and it's good enough. Whereas the point of Nechemia and Rabbi Ben Yaakov, no, the only place for Marochas is on the top of the Mizbeach. And therefore, so according to them, you can't do that. Therefore, the below the Sovev is too far away from the top of the Mizbeach for it to be considered in the same area, and therefore they'd say it's possible. Next. So going back now to the Mishnah. So this Braisa has gone through the whole pasuk about the psukim about Ola Soiv and explained the details of the procedure and how we derive them from the psukim. Next, the Mishnah had said Bola Legufola after he's done with the head. So we said he did the malika, he He did the malika. He squeezed the blood. He pressed the blood against the wall of the mizbeach. And he soif gibber melach. He wipes it on salt, on one of the piles of salt there, because everything that's burned on the mizbeach has to have salt on it. And then he throws it into the fire. Now the Mishnah had said vole laguf. Now he comes to deal with the body, and he said he takes out the mura and notza and the bnei me'ayim, the kishkas that come out with them, and then throws them away. So turn around. Why don't we learn in another braisa? The pasuk says that heiser es mur also v'notzasa. He should remove its mura with its notza. Now what does mura mean? Zuzefek. This is what's called in later Russian Kurdish the zefek. In English, it's called the crop. Birds don't have teeth, so they have to have some way of essentially pre-digesting their food before it gets down to their stomach, to their gizzard. So they have, not all birds have, but kosher birds in particular, have a pouch inside their neck called a zefek, which supposedly he was calling mura, where the food stays over there for a while and starts getting digested, and then eventually, once it's softened enough, then it goes down to the stomach and the process continues. So the mura refers to the zefek. Yochol yakdir b'sakin v'yitlenu. So you would think that means that you just make a hole with a knife in the bird's body in that area and just take out the zefek alone without the skin or the feathers above it. Rashi describes you might do like the way when you're going to roast a bird. You want to roast a bird whole. You're going to cut out the zefek. You don't want it and all the semi-digested food in there in your dish. But you'll just cut out that. You're not going to bother removing the skin and everything at that point. No, kamal boimah. B'neit sasa, therefore the pasuk says, with its feathers. That means notzol, some notzema. So that means he has to take the feathers with it. And if he's going to take the feathers, then it means also he's taking the skin, the skin to which the feathers are attached. The Ravid explains, in other words, since the pasuk is bit no sasa, then it means the feathers have to be still attached. So therefore, it means they have to be attached to the skin that they're with. Abba Yossi ben Chanan Omer, notla v'notla kukuvana ima. Abba Yossi ben Chanan says that no, what it means is he takes the mura, the zefek, together with the kukuvan, together with the gizzard, the actual stomach of the bird. So according to him, in other words, the point is that Rashi explains, according to him, the word note sasa does not mean it's feathers, rather it means it's disgusting stuff. Like we find in Eicha, ki notzu gam no'u. The people who were wandering around Yerushalayim during the siege and the final parts of the siege of Yerushalayim, and they're covered with blood and whatever, and everybody wants to stay away from them. So we see that the word notza can mean something disgusting. So Abba Yossi ben Chanan says that's what it means, the stomach with all the waste inside it. The Mishnah, mind you, had mentioned all of them. The Mishnah had mentioned Mura and Notza and Bnei Me'ayim. And Tosfos points out that doesn't really seem to fit with either opinion over here. So one possibility is that the Mishnah is sort of generalizing and saying basically that it means that according to either opinion, respectively. Anyway, so you take all that out. So according to him, you don't take any feathers with it. The Braisa continues. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, and the Braisa in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught it differently. Benot Sasa means Benot Sashala. It does indeed mean with its feathers. But Kod Rabba Sakin, Kimina Rubba, that means he cuts it out like a window. So like a circular window. So in other words, the point is... Not so much you empty it out. Rashi explains you don't do any more than the skin that's exactly in front of the zefek. Meaning, in other words, that you just take without cutting it. In other words, Rashi explains Tanur Beit Avishmal is saying without actually cutting that circular hole, you would end up taking off more of the skin than you're supposed to, and you have to only take off the skin that is exactly in front of the zefek. That's basically, in other words, the Ravid explains that that's what it means. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, we don't care if a little extra skin comes off, and according to Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, according to Tanur Beit Avishmuel, it does matter, and you have to be as careful as possible to get exactly what's in front of the zefek. Meanwhile, again, according to Abba Yossi ben Chanan, you're not taking off any skin at all, you're just taking off the zefek and all the whole digestive system. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Shisav lo hivdil, then he would break the bird in half, and not we break the bird, but not actually cut, divide it completely in half. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in another braisa. What does it mean? V'shisa, ein shisa el b'yad. The word shisa means to do by hand. So he doesn't take a knife and cut the bird in two. Means again, he does it with his bare hands, breaking it in two. or partially into. As we find by Shimshon, when he's on his way to marry a plishti girl, now that Amma mentions that he was Megaya her, etc. Anyway, the Pasuk says he met up with a lion that was ready to attack him, and he ripped it up like a person would rip a goat. Or maybe like a wild animal itself would rip a goat. Whatever. The point is, and the Pasuk says he didn't have any weapon with him. So we see that the word the Shraishasehu means by his hand, and the same thing, Bashisa, means to do it by hand. Okay. The Mishnah had continued Loy Heser some Mura Hula, that if he didn't take out the Mura and the rest of that, then it's still B'dievid Kosher, as long as he did the Mitzui properly. And the Mishnah had gone on to say that when it comes to a Chatas, we said that a Chatas, you're supposed to not be Mavdil, you're supposed to not divide the head from the body completely, whereas by an Ola you are. So the Mishnah had said that if he is Mavdil by Chatas, and he's not Mavdil by Ola, then it will be possible. So let's talk about that. Our Mishnah is evidently not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Shamaiti, I have heard from my Rabbein, Shemavdilin b'chatas ha'oif, that you are able to divide the head from the body, or cut through both simonim, when it comes to a chatas ha'oif, and b'dievet, it's not a problem. So when our Mishnah says that if he did that by a chatas ha'oif, it'll be possible, is evidently not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So again, the Gemara asks, "Mai Benayhu, what is the difference between them?" And again, here, like on Amud Aleph, "Mai Benayhu" really means "Mai Kumitzigi." What is the underlying point of their machloikas? Amud Rav Chista Mitzui Chatas Ha'oif Ma'akev Ika Benayhu. The underlying machloikas between them is whether the pressing out of the blood of the Chatas Ha'oif is Ma'akev or not. We said by a Chatas you have the Hazah, where you're squeezing out, where you're squirting out the blood from a distance towards the wall of the Mizbeach. So Rav Chista says the question is, do you also have to do Mitzui afterwards or not? The Tanakama holds that is ma'akin. The kivin the mitzui dam ka'ovin, kivin the mitzui dam. Now, if he does mitzui of the chatas, it comes out. If he also then divides completely divides the head from the body, the problem is ka'ovin ma'isa ola b'chatas. Then it comes out that he's done the chatas like an ola should be. Agoyis abach changes the wording a little bit to make it clearer, the kivin the mitzui dam ma'akev, since according to the Tanakama, the mitzui dam is necessary, and if not the korban is possible, then when he does a chatas, if he's also doing mitzui, then it comes out that he's doing a chatas like an oila. Now, to be sure, he's doing it the fact Tosfos points out that he's doing it on a different half of the Mizbeach, that it's an oila and he's doing it on the bottom, that he's doing it on the top and a chatas on the bottom, that's not considered a shinui. We have to have that there should be an actual difference in the procedure of the chatas of the oila. So the Tanakama is going to say that since you have to do mitzui by both of them, then if you don't have some other distinction between them, then it comes out you've treated this korban in effect like an oila. B'chatas ha'oif, and yet this is a chatas ha'oif, and that's no good. So therefore, the Tanakhama says you dafka have to make this distinction. Therefore, be mavdil when it comes to the oila. Don't be mavdil when it comes to the chatas. Therefore, the Tanakhama is going to say that if you did have dola, if you're completely separated by the chatas, no good, because now you've done it exactly like an oila. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, "Mitzui chatas ha'oif lo ma'akev." Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that the mitzui of the pressing out of the blood of a chatas ha'oif is not ma'akev. So he can do it, but he doesn't have to do it. So what he can do is instead he could completely separate by the chatas. But he doesn't have to do mitzui. So then it comes out that he's done, that he hasn't done. So then that's fine. He wants to be mavdil yavdil. But then all he has to do is don't do mitzui afterwards, and then that way he won't have treated the chatos like an oila. The fact that he did have dola differently, chituch bosa ba'alma, who Rashi explains, will be considered just like he's cutting through dead flesh, because at that point he's already done a valid malika, given that by a chatos you only need one simen, or you only need a partial separation. So therefore, machatik basa ba'almahu, so it'll just be considered like he's cutting through dead flesh, and therefore it'll remain kosher. This just has a long discussion about what the Gemara means by this, and then Tosfos actually has a whole different explanation of the discussion here that we're talking about. But here Tosfos explains we're not talking about at all about the Havdalah of the head from the body. We're talking about the Havdalah of the body. With an oila sa'if, the pasuk says, "Rashi sa'if v'knuf of lo yavdo." So, like we say, tears it apart, but he doesn't tear it apart completely. By a chatas, the pasuk specifically says, by a chatas, on the other hand, we're talking about we're not talking about the body. We are talking about the head versus the body, but we're talking about if he separated them after the hazah. Would that still be kosher? According to the Tanakh, we're saying that according to the Tanakhama, So Tosfos learns, in other words, my benayu, what is the reason behind the machloikas? Rav Chista said, mitzvi chatasoy fika benayu. The Chum holds, since you have to do mitzvi, so therefore, hazah, he hasn't yet completed the mitzvah. Now then, if he cuts through the second simen after the hazah, before the mitzvi, no good. Because now he did something with an oila by a chatas. As opposed to Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, the mitzvah is not ma'akev. By the time he gets after the hazah, he's done the entire mitzvah that has to be done. Everything, if he wants to do mitzvah afterwards, it's only the mitzvah ba'alma, and therefore cutting through the second simen at that point will only be mechatech basa ba'alma. So that's one answer. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different answer. Tosfos says actually it should be Rabba. And that would fit because the third answer is going to be given by Abaya, and we usually have in the Gemara Abaya comes first. He was older than Rava, and he was a Rosh Hashiva before him, so usually the Gemara will present it in order first Abaya then Rava, but here we have Rava, so Tosfos instead has the Girsa Rab. Anyway, Rava or Rabba Omar, Shehiya b'simin sheni ba'olasayis ma'akim ekabinayu. The nafkamina is between them is like this. We know by shchita that there are five things that can passel it, and one of them is shehiya, is pausing in the middle of the shchita. Now, with a bird, it's also possible for there to be shehiya. If he interrupts in the middle of doing the one simin, by a bird, a regular bird of chulin, you need shchita, not malika. And there also you need to cut through only one simen. So if you interrupt in the middle of that, yeah, that's shehiya. But what about when it comes to before the second simen, when it comes to an ola sa'if, where again, by an ola sa'if, both simonim are required, if he did shehiya between them, is that ma'akiv, does that make the korban possible or not? That would be the nakamina. Tanakama sava shehiya b'simen sheni ba'ola sa'if lo ma'akiv. The Tanakama will hold, and that's not ma'akiv, meaning it's not possible. Rashi instead says lo posla. So unlike, in other words, Rashi says like this, with the shechting of an animal, the definition of shechita is to cut through both simonim. And the reason is, the Gemara explains in Chulin, an animal has more chayos, and therefore it takes through cutting through both pipes in order to kill its chayos. A bird is weaker, and cutting through one simon is enough to take away its life. However, by an Ola Soif, we're saying you have to cut through both simonim. Why is that? That's not because that's the definition of malika. That's not what's needed in order to kill the bird. It's because there's a possible that you have a mitzvah to do by an Ola Soif to cut through both of them. But malika would apply only to the first one. So therefore, the Tanakhama will hold if he did malika through the first one, and that would be the equivalent of shchita, which is also only the first one. It doesn't matter if afterwards he did shehiya, and later on he cut through the second one, it won't possible, and therefore that's fine. So now, therefore, if we... So when we talk about that if he's not mavdil or if he's mavdil, so what we'll mean is, in other according to this answer, we'll talk about, in other words, that he does it later on. He does the first one, and then later on he's mavdil and cuts through the second one. So that would be the machlokes. Tanakama sava shehiya b'simen sheni ba'olah sarif le'ma'akiv. The Tanakama holds that to waiting before cutting the second one is not ma'akiv. Va'afagav the shaye. So even though he delayed it, doesn't matter ka'ovin ma'isa or the b'chatas. So ka'ovin ma'isa or the b'chatas. So then, in other words, so by an oila it won't be ma'akim, but by a chatas where he's supposed to cut through only one, if he later on cuts through the second one, kavod ma'isa oila b'chatas, now he's doing to a chatas what should have been done to an oila, cutting through both of them, and therefore that's no good. There's a time span between them. The Tanakhama says that doesn't matter; it's still considered malika. So therefore, he can't do that. So therefore, by the chatas, he can never cut through more than one simen, even with a delay. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Sava ma'akiv. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds that Shehiyah will be ma'akiv when it comes to an oila. You have to do them back to back, and if he does them with a delay, then it won't be a valid malika, and it'll be possible. So therefore, no problem by a chatas for kibbutz shayeh. So all he has to do is wait by a chatas oif between the simanim, so it won't be a kosher for an oila. And fine, machatach basim almahu. At that point, it's just considered cutting through dead flesh, and it won't pass over chatas, and therefore he'll say, according to this answer, that you want to cut through the second one, gizun tehet. Again, Tosfos following their shitta that they're explaining that this is talking about after Hazah and before the Mitzri. So you'd have a similar thing over here that Rabba would explain that he did the Hazah in between, and now he did the second Simon. So would that passel it or not? Tosfos also mentioned so again, according to that Rabbanan, it could work with a delay, and therefore doing the same thing by a chatas will passel it, even though you have the Hazah in between, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon none. Abaya says a third answer. The argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim turns on the question of whether you also have to cut through most of the flesh. You definitely have to cut through the second simen by an ola as soon as possible after the first one, and if it's shehiyah, it will make it possible, according to this answer of Abaya. But the machlokas will be about cutting through the rest of the muscles of the neck. So he cut through the both simonim, but now when you get down to it like this, between the simonim of necessity, there's going to be a little bit of time between one and the other because you have to cut through the muscles over there. You have to cut through the flesh. So Abaye says like this. Let's go back to Rabba's explanation that Shehiyah makes it considered to be a separate thing by an Ola Sa'oif. Such a thing would passel it, but you have to cut roi boser according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Therefore, so now when it comes to a chatas, so if he does both simonim, no problem. He's not doing exactly like by an oila, because if he were to delay like that, start cutting through the muscles between one simon and another, when it comes to an oila soif, it would passel it. Whereas the Tanakhama holds that you don't have to cut through the muscles at all, so therefore there's no need to separate between one simon and the next. So now again you have the same point that if he does it without any delay, then he's doing an ola to a chatas and it becomes posel. And on the other hand, if he cuts the roi boser, but there's still a delay between the simonim, then it's still going to be we're still going to say, what if he doesn't do Roy Vosser, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds that Roy Vosser is absolutely necessary, so therefore it's not going to be good. That would be another reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would say, you want to go ahead and do Mavdil B'chata Sa'oif, go ahead and do that, because in order to do Mavdil, there also doesn't need to be chituch roi boser, and therefore when do you do that? After the first simon, so it won't be exactly like an ola, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon will be fine with it. And the Gemara points out, it would plug to the Zayda of Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Yitzchak. In fact, that according to that, then the machloikas of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is exactly the same as the machloikas of Rabbi Zayda and Rabba and Abaya about how to explain the machloikas of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is exactly the same as the machloikas of Rabbi Zayda and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Yitzchak. Chad al Mashihir the Simon Sheni bar Ola Soif Ma'akev Ikabinayu. One of them explains that Rava or Rabba, that the argument between them is whether delaying between the first and second Simon is Ma'akev. And according to that way of looking at it, it is ma'akiv by an ola sa'oif, and therefore if he does, and it would prevent it from being kosher, and therefore if he does that by a chatas, then no problem, he's not doing it like an ola. And the other one says v'chad omer roi boser ma'akiv ikabinayu, and the other one says it's a question of whether we have to cut through roi boser or not, and therefore again. And therefore, again, the question is, does he need to do that by an oila? And therefore, if he does that by a chatas, will it be treating the chatas like an oila or not? So the Gemara says Makal to be in and Roy Bosom at Chiva. So you're telling me that either way, we're saying that you do. We're saying they're arguing whether it's Ma'akid. Does that mean the Chachila? After you cut the simen, you're supposed to cut through Roy Bosser. And the answer is Ain. As a matter of fact, yes. Vahotanya. And indeed, we learn in a brisa. Ketzav mokim chatas ha'oif. How do you do the malika of a chatas ha'oif? Choisach shedro mafrekas v'loy Roy Bosser. You start by cutting through the spinal cord and the neck bones. Below Roy Bosser without yet cutting through the majority of the flesh, because Rashi points out at that point, if you were to cut through most of the flesh that surrounds the spine, then already the brood becomes nevela. So you haven't yet gotten to the simanim. So you can't cut through that until you cut through the simanim. Amshimagila Vesh Elakona, then eventually he reaches whichever one of the pipes first, the esophagus or the windpipe. Higila Vesh Elakona, once he reaches one of those, Choisach Simen Echad Eruboy, then he cuts the one simen, or it's enough to cut through the majority of it, because when it comes to Shchita, also cutting through the majority of a simen is considered like the whole thing. And at that point he cuts through most of the muscles around it as well. When it comes to an ola, it's not enough to do one, he has to do both simonim or most of both of them. Rashi brings from the Gemara and Cholin that the Chachamim would say he has to do all two of them. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say it's enough. He does roiv of each one of them where they base themselves on psukim. What we see, in other words, al-Hachila, you are in fact supposed to cut through roiv basar after you've cut through the one simon. And therefore, now the question is that ma'akib if he didn't do that, and that'll affect the question then of how it's done by an ola and how it's done by a kratos to make sure that you have some kind of distinction between them, some kind of distinction in the actual procedure, and according to Abai, the machlokas of Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon and the Chachamim will turn on that point. We'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, where we're going to have a fourth understanding of the machlokas of Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon and the Chachamim. So far the three were again, does he have to do mitzui or not, therefore if he does mitzui by chatas ha'oif, is he doing exactly like an oila or not? Is a matter of shihia between the two simonim, or is a matter of machatek basa between the two simonim? So then we'll have another understanding that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is not saying that you have to divide it by a chatas ha'oif. When he says shemaita shemavdulin b'chatas ha'oif, it doesn't mean that you have to. It means you could. We said before it means that you could if you have to. But we're going to talk about that. Maybe it means that he has to. So we'll get to that tomorrow. That's true.